Good morning. It's great to be able to come through video to Ainsdale again. Special thank you for inviting me, giving me the opportunity, and for all the others who will be listening to this message online. Great to chat to you as well. I'd like to share this morning from the book of Romans, the first chapter. I think Romans chapter 1 is one of the great, great chapters of the Bible. And let me just give you a little bit of the setting so you get the feel of what I want to say and what God has put on my heart this morning. Rome was the capital of the then known world, basically. Rome was, of course, the ruling force, and it governed the whole world from Rome. And Paul, who was a great preacher at that time, of course, all good preachers, I'd love to get there. I'd love to be in Rome and speak to the Romans. And he tried several times to go, but had been unable to. But at last, the door opened. And you can see this enthusiastic young man. Well, I don't know if he's young then, but enthusiastic man bursting into Rome with this wonderful message that he had. And let me just read, see if you can capture it from these verses in Romans chapter 1 from verse 14. Let me just read these verses. For I have a great sense of obligation to the people, both in the civilized world and to the rest of the world, to the educated, to the uneducated alike. So I am eager, do you get it there? I am eager to come to Rome to preach the good news. For I'm not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God saving everyone who believes, the Jew first, then the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. So there you have just a few words, and the particular verse I want to share, because it's a verse that I feel so often in my own personal life. That's why I want to share it. It's deep inside me as well as it was in the Apostle Paul. He said this, I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It's the power of God at work. He said, I'm not ashamed. In fact, the exact opposite. He could easily have just said, I'm very, very proud of this message. And I would like to share with you this morning the reasons why, like Paul, I'm not ashamed of this glorious message that we have to share about the Lord Jesus. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you some vital truths, I hope. I hope they'll encourage you. I hope they'll build you up. I hope they'll make you strong in the faith. And if you're not yet a Christian, just seeking, I hope even this simple, straightforward tape from my heart will help you to take that great step for your personal life, to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus. So let me give you some of these great reasons why Paul said, I'm not ashamed. The first one, you've got to go to verse 1 of the book of Romans. And this is how he introduces the book. He says, Paul, a servant, that's what he was. He was just a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. That's a messenger, okay? Called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. He said, I'll tell you why I'm not ashamed about this message. Do you know the source of what I'm going to bring you and teach you and share with you? It doesn't come from me. It doesn't come from a great philosopher. That would be interesting, I suppose. But he said, it's far more important than that. It's the gospel, the good news that God wants men and women and boys and girls to hear. It comes from God. It's God's message for the mankind on this planet. And I think any of us who live on this planet with any form of belief in God would be tremendously interested to say to God, what is your message that comes from your heart? What is the truth you want us to know? And so it's tremendously relevant. It comes from God. This is God speaking to men and women and boys and girls. And I'm not ashamed of myself as a preacher. I have one job. I'm just a little messenger boy, really, to bring God's message to men and women and boys and girls. And it's described here, and this is my second reason. First reason, it's from God. My second reason, look at the title. It's called Good News. In fact, over and over again in chapter 1, I think 7 times in that one chapter, it uses the word good news. Set apart to preach the good news. We've just read that verse, verse 3. Good news, long ago, that came through the prophets and the Holy Scriptures. Good news is about his son. Verse 9, whom I serve with all my heart, spreading the good news about the Son of God. And verse 15, so I'm so eager to come to Rome to preach the good news. And this verse, I'm not ashamed of the good news. So basically, let me simply tell you, it's so simple but wonderfully true. What God has got to say to us is the best news we could possibly ever hear in the whole world. There's nobody got better news. So hope you'll pin your ears back. I hope you'll see it's relevant. It must be significant. It's coming from God, and it's very good news for your life, and it's very good news for my life too. So there's 2 reasons. Once we understand it and grasp what God's trying to say, we say, wow, that's good. In fact, that's fantastic. And I hope that I might be able to, in my simple way, present it so that you can grasp that it's good news for your life. So that's the second. Let the third one, it tells us the sort where it's directly at. Verse 2, God promised this good news long ago through his prophets, the Holy Scriptures. So it's there in the Word of God. The good news is about his son. Now there you have it. This is the second reason why I'm not ashamed about it, because the whole message that God wants us to grasp for our lives is fantastic news, and it's all about Christ. God says, the one thing I want this world to do is to turn to my son, because he can do the greatest good in their lives. He's the one that can bless them. All the blessings of God are in Christ. So for a man and woman to be blessed and to be helped in their life in a significant and relevant way, we need to come to Christ. That is, of course, in our English history, I can remember just vaguely, because it's a long time ago, but in the very early 50s, an evangelist came across from America to all of us in England. They called him Billy Graham. Everybody's heard, I'm sure, of Billy Graham. He only died a short time ago. But he was an evangelist. And he took on Aringay Arena. And he preached simply and clearly to the people of Great Britain. And thousands came to Christ. Lives were changed and blessing. And Billy Graham just simply presented Jesus Christ. It was, you read, I've listened to his sermons, and the very heart of them is a call for men and women to come to Christ. So it's focused on his son. Now, a very important thing, that's my first is it's from God. Secondly, it's about Christ. And thirdly, and it's important, I think, it certainly was important in my young life when I was trying to search for, you know, reality. As a young teenager, I was looking for life, I was looking for a purpose. But the one thing that I wanted was something that was true, something that was relevant. And I just was searching for the truth. And the one thing I want to say is why I'm not ashamed. Of course, I've had the privilege to study at Bible school. I've studied theology. I've read and read hundreds of books and sought to find what is true. And the one lovely thing that I've discovered, and now because it is true, I want to spend the rest of my life teaching it. It is this gospel, this message is true. Christ did come. That's true. He did come. Our old calendar is based on this. Christ came into the world, and it's true. It's relevant. He did come. He was born in Bethlehem of Judea. And you remember when he was born, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Just before he was born, an angel came and spoke to those shepherds. You know the story very well. You know what he said? What did he say? I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all people, for unto you a savior, that's Christ, was born. It's true. He really did come, and he really did die on that cross. That's historically true. I've studied that. So important to discover, is it true? Of course it's true. Cross was there. And I'll tell you what is wonderfully true as well. He did rise again from the dead. I challenge anybody to study the resurrection. I know people who've attacked Christianity, and they said, and people, I remember a guy in America who's a very famous speaker now, but he started off as a totally agnostic, almost atheist. And he met a group of Christians, and they said, you know, he challenged them. You don't believe that lot, do you? He said, yes, we do. Because it's true. And so one of the girls in the group that he was challenging said, look, I'll give you something to do. If you don't believe it, listen, study the resurrection. Because Christ did rise from the dead. Disprove it and you'll crush Christianity. And so he said, right. And he did. He went to came across to England. Went to some of our colleges. He went to the place in Manchester, the Rydal Hall, where there are fragments of the New Testament. And he began to ask questions, and went everywhere. He went into Europe, talked to the theologians there to find out. And he came back. When he arrived back in America, he was a Christian. He gave his life to Christ because, he was a lawyer, he'd come to the conclusion that Christ really did come. He really was too, and he did rise from the dead, demonstrating, it says in the book of Romans, that he was indeed the Son of God. So that's why I'm not ashamed of it. It's true. Let me give you a third reason, and it's an important one. I am not ashamed because it's relevant. It's absolutely relevant. If God's going to speak, and he's going to send his son into this world who would die on that cross, it would be for a relevant purpose. And there's a tremendous relevance in Christ coming into the world. And the good news is relevant. Let me tell you why. Because it deals with the greatest problem on the planet. You might say, what's the biggest problem we've got on this planet? I'm going to tell you undisputably, you can't argue with this. Undisputable. The greatest problem we've got is evil. If you could only get evil out of our world, out of our lives, well, we'd have a much better world. Well, the very purpose for which Christ came into this world was to deal with the problem of evil, to stop it. That's why he was on the cross. The wonderful thing where men and women give their lives to Christ and come and put their faith in him. The wonderful thing is that evil stops. Drug addicts throw away their needles. Drunkards stop drinking. Live a clean life. People with impure lives start living clean again. And it happens over and over again. Marriages are renewed. Homes are brought back to how they should be. Places of joy, love and security. Because when men and women come to Christ, evil goes and good comes. That's what happens to a life. The wrong, the bad that we've done is stopped by the power of Jesus. And the new, as it says in this, the end of this letter, a righteousness from God comes to our lives. The good news, it tells us at the end of this section, the good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. Do you know what happens? Say today, you might be thinking, well, I'm wondering about becoming a Christian. Well, let me tell you what happens. Become a Christian, of course, you've got to repent. You've got to turn away from what's wrong in your life. And you've got to come to Christ. You've got to come to Jesus. Thank him for dying for you on that cross. And then something amazing happens. A new power comes into your life. It says this, as many as received him, that's Christ, to those he gave power to become. Power to become what God wants you to be. Power to become children of God. And a new power. I became a Christian, as I've mentioned many times, at the age of nearly 16. I was 15 and three quarters. And my life changed. I became different. I used to fight my brother, but somehow I wanted to be friends with him, which is amazing. I had a mother, dear mum, who was a very good woman, but she had a weak heart, and she would often come, get off a Cherry's bus at the top of our street, carry the shopping bags down street, and then all of a sudden, just because she had a weak heart, after she'd done shopping, there were seven of us, so a lot, we didn't have a car, she had to carry these bags from the bus right down Wharton Avenue to our house, last house in the avenue. She'd drop on the chair, and for 20 minutes, she couldn't do anything else. She just had to rest before she had to get tea. I'd seen her do it many times, drop on that chair. I became a Christian. Something had happened. I ran home from school, put my school bags down and ran down Wharton Avenue and waited for Cherry's bus coming. Mum's coming off. Grabbed a bag. Mum, I'm going to carry them. Carried them all the way back to our house so Mum could not be so exhausted. I'd never thought of it. Never entered my head until Christ had. He was beginning to do something new in this life of mine. I thank God for the fact that he's been doing that day in and day out ever since. Jesus is real. Jesus is great. I love telling people to come to Jesus because he changes lives. And so that's why it's good. It's relevant. That's what we need. We need it in our homes. We need it in our marriages. We need it in our society. We need men and women and boys and girls to do exactly what Billy Graham invited them, come to Christ. It's good news. And the good news is this, whoever comes, listen, whoever comes is never turned away. Christ will save all that come to him. They've just got to come. Put their faith and their trust in him. So I'm not ashamed because it's relevant. And this is linked with that, which follows that. I am not ashamed, Paul said, because it's powerful. Listen what he said. I'm not ashamed of the good news about Jesus Christ because it is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. God's power at work. And it's powerful. I think it's James Denny said, there is a mighty force that makes bad men good men. That's what happens. I always remember a friend of mine who I've played a lot of soccer with, a good soccer coach as well now. We call him Tommy Angus. And he was a boozer. I mean, he played on Blackpool youth team, but He just they eventually got a job after he'd finished with football on the railway. And of course, railway mentality, of course, was you work hard, but when Friday comes, you get your pay packet and you go to the pub and you spend a lot of it there. And of course, that was his life. He did that. He said, "I did that every Friday. Soon as I finished work, straight to the pub." And he was getting, he was getting a little older. And one day, a Christian met him and told him about Jesus. And Tommy opened his heart to the Lord Jesus. And he said, "What happened?" He said, this is, I'm trying to show you something of the power of God here. This guy, out of pure habit, got his wage packet, straight off to the pub. He went straight off to the pub and did the usual thing, went down to the bar. Bartender came to him and he says what he always said, "Pint of bitter, please." The bartender put the pint of bitter down. Tommy goes, "Usually grab the pint of bitter." But then his hand stopped. He said, "It seemed as though I couldn't lift it up." And he ungrasped it. And he said, "I've never touched a drop of alcohol since that day." The power of God working in a railway man's life, transforming. If you meet Tommy today, he's one of the loveliest Christian men you could want to meet. And he helps working with youth, helping in doing whatever he can, helping his church. He's just a servant of Jesus Christ today. The power of God can do that for you as well, if you let Christ into your life. Well, I'm not ashamed of it because it's powerful. One more, the last one. I'm not ashamed of the gospel because of the universality of the gospel. This is what Paul said. I'm not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It's the power of God at work. Listen to this, saving everyone who believes. Everyone. Jew, it says here, or Gentile. It's not just for churchy people. It's not just for, people who have got a religious tint in them. It's for every man, boy, or girl on the planet. God says, "I've got good news for you." It's everyone listening to me now. I want you to know it's for you, this. It's for everyone. I was preaching in Preston, and there was a lady stopped me at the door. I'd said the same truth. The gospel's simple. It's for everyone who comes to Christ. He doesn't turn anybody away. And this lady shook me at the end of the door. She was going out. She said, "Ah, but he won't come to me." And so I said, "Yes, he will. That's what the preacher's got to say, hasn't he? Yes, he will." She said, "Of course." "No, he won't." So it was like a ping pong box. I was saying, "Yes, he will." "No, he won't." We were going like this at the back of the chair. And then all of a sudden, I don't know why I did it. Probably God prompted me to say it because I just looked across at her and I just said, "Oh, what is your name?" She said, "Grace." I said, "Oh, Grace, do you know what grace means?" "No," she said. "I'm going to tell you what grace means," because she told me a bit of a story. She was on alcohol. I won't say she was an alcoholic, but not far off. She'd wrecked her marriage. She'd broken a lot of people's hearts in her life. And I said, "Do you know what?" And you could perhaps understand why she was saying, "It's not for me. It won't come to me," because she'd done so much wrong in her life, so much mess. And I said, "Do you know what grace means?" "It means grace. Grace, it means God's unmerited favor. God will do for you what you don't deserve." "And you don't deserve eternal life?" "Of course not. You've not lived that quality of life. But God's going to give you it. Because he's a God of grace. Nobody's too bad to come to Christ." I found out later on in the week from a phone call I received that that afternoon Grace had gone back to her flat and received Christ into her heart. And she started going to that church regular, and right to the end of her life, she had Christ. It's for everyone. And some of you were saying, it's not for me. It is. You need Christ. I'll tell you that very clearly. You need him. You need him today. And I'm going to encourage those of you who are not Christians to pray with me as I conclude this message of, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's a message from God. It's good news. It's true. Christ did come. Christ did die. He hung on that cross for your life so you could go to heaven one day. And I want to say something absolutely certain. For any who says, I am not going to follow Christ, then there's no heaven. That's why he came. We were lost. We needed a saviour. And God provided one. This is the good news. A saviour has been provided for the whole of mankind. And as many as come will be received and forgiven. And become children of God. Will you come? Let's pray. This is the prayer. Father, thank you so much for your great love for men and women. Thank you for the good news that we have because Christ came. Christ died, took our sins away. And because he rose from the dead, he can come by the Holy Spirit into our lives. And today, some of us want to pray a very definite prayer. This is the prayer. You pray. Today, I would like to become a Christian. Lord Jesus, I would ask you right now to come into my life. I'm going to follow you from this day forward. Please send your Holy Spirit. Make me new inside. Send that power that changes lives. May my life be changed. By the power of Jesus Christ, I'm going to follow him. Let me tell people after I've gone from this meeting that I've given my life to Christ. Amen. Well, I can't do here what Billy Graham did in Haringey was when you hear the message and ask them to come and stand forward and make an open commitment of their lives. I can't do that because I'm miles away from you. But listen, what I want you to do if you prayed that prayer is to go to somebody in the church who you know and tell them I've become a Christian. Or if you don't know anybody there, you just go to the minister and tell him. He'll be thrilled. He'll welcome you and encourage you. And then the other thing I want you to do, this is a very important thing because this will build you up. I want you to start reading the Bible. Read a little bit every day. Get up in the morning, start the day reading a few verses. Start in the New Testament, maybe the Gospel of John or Luke. I like Luke's Gospel. You know, just start reading through it and you'll be amazed how God will encourage you and speak to you and build you up, and you'll get stronger and stronger as a Christian as you do that. So that's what I want to encourage you to. Thank you. I wish you all the best. And those of you who are Christians, you know, get on fire. Tell as many as possible, this good news is for the whole of creation. And your job is to pass it on. God bless you.